Good morning, everybody. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host here. We have Brian DeLoge, a county commissioner for District 4, and Nancy Miller, city commissioner Nancy Miller, occupying seat 3. Heather Thomas will be with us, another installment of Women to Watch, and we've got the good folks from Big Bend Homeless Coalition, so you stay with me. We'll be right here.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Protect your homes, family, and businesses with security and storm protection window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. We have over 18 years experience in protecting against Mother Nature. Our security film is resistant to strong winds and broken glass. It also provides an invisible barrier to smash and grab thieves and intruders.
Protect your family with the best from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800. Mention this ad and save 10% off your purchase.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning again. It is so good to have you with us on this beautiful day here in the month of March. Cascades Park opening up today. You know about this? Come on now. What a cool thing. I mean, I'm getting ready to head down that way, and I hope to see you down there. They've done a fabulous job in making this even easier for everybody to participate in it. And as a matter of fact, one of the ways you can do that, you can find a place to park down there. It's not that hard. And they have, what are they doing? A kind of guided tours. What you do is you get down there and they give you a passport, okay? And so you take your passport that's intended to give you direction around the entire park, and you'll go from the play, learn, watch, and move various parts of the park, and you'll be able to get this little passport stamped. You go through the amphitheater stage and so forth. They have local music and performers up there on the stage. And then once you get your passport completely filled out, you've attended all of these various parts of the park, you get a t-shirt, I guess, or some kind of neat stuff just for having come on down and check it out. We'll have a Brian DeLoge with us and a Nancy Miller later on in the show. They're both going to be talking about this. And you'll learn, too, just how far Cascades Park is going to extend. I mean, this is just really just the beginning now, because it's going to continue in years ahead all the way to Lake Bradford Road. You literally be able to walk or ride your bike from Leon High School over there on West Tennessee Street all the way over to Lake Bradford and not have to go fighting traffic. They're going to make it pedestrian friendly. And it's a great idea. I mean, it from my point of view, it brings so much of the community together in a central location that otherwise has been sort of divided geographically and perhaps culturally speaking. So now you've got Cascades Park is sort of the centerpiece, along with things like College Town and the Madison Mile that's being proposed so that you really have the sense of community where we can all participate. And in that way, find the kind of things that we Tallahasseans like to do on a given day of the week or a given weekend like today. And we've got some stuff going on that you need to know about. For one thing, you've got St. Patrick's Day celebrations going on today. The festival and parade happens starting this afternoon about 3 o'clock down there at Clayman Plaza. And they'll have a pipe band and all kinds of neat stuff going on with the St. Patrick's Festival and Parade, the Tallahassee Irish Society. They're providing us a bit of the Blarney and those folks like my Irish mother, who would be glad to know that I'm observing such things. In fact, she was Irish. Well, at least she always told me she was. What else we got going on around town? Kids Go Broke, Tallahassee Bach Parlay. That's tomorrow that they're at the Longmire Recital Hall. By the way, folks, if you're trying to stay in touch with some of these activities that we see going on, here's a great source for you, tallyconnection.com. These notices are provided, it's a blog actually, that's provided for you by FSU Credit Union. They pay for the whole thing. So it offers you and I a chance to see at a glance all the neat stuff going on around town. For example, here's one called Get Your Run On, Color in Motion, Springtime 10K, Fight for a Cure. It says whether you think it'd be fun to get mixed up in a bit of color or run a race that's 39 years in the making or help a fairly well-known Seminole family fight back, there's a race coming soon to Tally. That's just right for you. So you see, I'm finding this out here at tallyconnection.com. That's where you want to go to learn about this stuff. Let's see. Did you know this? Tallahassee has a kickball league. Absolutely. World Adult Kickball Association, WACA. I think it started in Tallahassee in 2010 and now spans across the country. It says that we're a social athletic league where the most important aspect is socializing, of course, and kicking the ball now and then. There's never any bad blood between kickball players, unlike certain members of our community, apparently. We'll be talking about that, too, with Nancy Miller. We have had all different types of good old folks participating, from legislative folks to healthcare folks, but mostly young professionals. So there you go, the Tallahassee Kickball League. Another example of some of the cool, exciting, and fun things to do in Tallahassee. Anytime you're looking for fun, again, that tallyconnection.com is a good place to go. Or you can go to our website. We've got several links there for you on our community page, and we try to keep you abreast of these various community calendars and community forums. In the news, of course, some sad news as we say farewell to former Governor Reuben Askew, who passed away earlier in the week. And for his part, gave Florida a fighting chance, especially when it came to racial relations. And in that regard, his contribution was significant at a time when it wasn't certainly not something that was going to happen very easily. He championed racial reconciliation as a state legislator back in the late 50s and early 60s, and that's when Southern politicians were preaching massive resistance to the U.S. Supreme Court. So for his part, contributed well to the welfare of so many folks in the state, and Governor Askew has passed, and that was what was that on Wednesday, and he was 85 years old. So God bless him and the families involved, and fond remembrances to a good Floridian who served us well as governor. Well, and of course, in other news, we've got lots of things going on with both FAMU and with FSU. Did you get this, by the way? Speaking of Florida State University, DOT has erected this fence along Tennessee Street there near Woodward and Brevard to try to keep kids from crossing the street, trying to get from campus over there to the other side of Tennessee Street. Officials have finally decided, yeah, we have got to put a stop to this. So there have been some injuries, and we want to make sure that the people are not doing something stupid. So they're going to put up, they've got the fence up, and they're going to put up a median barrier. So not going to be able to do that anymore, boys and girls. That's kind of the way it goes. And we think that that's probably a good idea. Unfortunately, sometimes that's the only way to get somebody to do the right thing. You got to put up a barrier. If you have information for us that you'd like to share, if you have a topic that you'd like us to consider, certainly do that. You can email us at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Visit our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, and you can participate in the conversation also online at our website. I beg your pardon, at our Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and then go Tallahassee Talks, you'll find plenty of opportunity there to post your comments and thoughts about the show or anything you'd like to share with us. That's what we're about. We care what you are talking about. And coming up, we'll have Heather Thomas and another edition of Women to Watch. So you stay right where you are. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. Finally, the right face for radio. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Good morning. I'm Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, here with another Women to Watch segment. I'm very pleased to have with me Carrie McNeil. Carrie is the owner of Cole Couture. She's one of our leading ladies of Midtown. She is married to Chase McNeil and is the mother to Kayton. I hope I'm saying that right.
Chayton. Yes.
Chayton. Yeah, I knew I was going to mess that up.
That's
so,
all right.
I'm so glad you're
it's
here
different.
To correct me on that. Hopefully that's all you have to correct me on. We are trying to really bring the spotlight on local businesswomen in our community. I love to, you know, start out this segment, especially with Carrie, because of the Midtown Renaissance, this Midtown Revival. Growing up here, there wasn't a Midtown. Mm-hmm. And then moving away and then coming back, and all of a sudden people are calling this area Midtown, mm-hmm. was a little laughable, you know, mm-hmm. because you mm-hmm. I lived in a bigger city, and I think people coming into Tallahassee, maybe from bigger cities, are thinking, well, what's that? What's Midtown of Tallahassee? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what is remarkable is that now it is Midtown.
That's
it's
right.
definitely a real mecca of what's new and exciting and mm-hmm. happening with the development of Tallahassee and the way things are just really exploding in mm-hmm. regards to businesses taking root here yeah. and really flourishing. And women are really a big part of that Midtown revival.
Absolutely.
So, Carrie, I first met you when you were on your little store down Thomasville
yes.
Road.
Yes.
And then you moved to the Midtown area. So what attracted you to the Midtown venue?
Yeah, so we were kind of early on in the Midtown curve. It felt right. We could tell that Midtown was going to turn into something. There were a lot of strong people behind it who really believed in it. It was looking beautiful, but more than that, it was feeling really good. The different businesses that were going into that area had a lot of confidence in it, a lot of creative ideas, and there was just a lot of strength, and we knew that that would be the right move for us. Also, the location of it, you know, feeding the north side of town, the south side of town. So without having multiple stores, we knew we could accomplish right there in Midtown what we needed to of being kind of central to a lot of people.
What attracted you, or what attracts you and keeps you grounded as a businesswoman, a business owner? What was the appeal, I guess I should say, okay. that
To go into it. Yeah. So, like a lot of people, I grew up around business owners. So whether, you know, sitting at what seemed then to be a really big desk, you know, at my mom's office, or stuffing envelopes at my dad's, I always took ownership in those things. And when I was teaching, you know, in elementary schools and also at FSU, those classrooms for me were very much creative, you know, places. And I always took a great amount of pride in my displays and owning those rooms. And I always also, you know, I worked in retail as well, several different positions. So when the opportunity presented itself to employ my own creativity and my own ideas and get to work around a lot of other inspiring people, I jumped on it. So
Carrie is quite really the devotee of community building. I really have admired one of the ways that she is a woman that we're watching. I've admired the way that she really endeavors to use her business to give back to the community. Why is that important to you, and what are some examples of the ways that you've given back?
Okay, thank you, Heather. That's very important to me. And what I can say is that it feels right. So I'm driven and compelled because it feels really good to do that. But deeper than that, Tallahassee has given me a lot, has given my employees a lot, and Cole Couture has really become a part of Tallahassee. And we feel very fortunate for the opportunities that this wonderful community has afforded, you know, us. So it just makes sense to give back to a community that allows us to do what we love every day. But on top of that, it's just our culture. It's threaded into making every day a lot more meaningful. So Cole Couture is a platform for us to give back to the many customers and people that we become close with in Tallahassee. So some of the ways are, we have Miracle Monday at Cole Couture. We've recently given it a name. It's something that we've always done. So we're able to give a percentage of what we make. So just having a weekly share day, or on top of that, you know, last week we did something for Treehouse where we made baskets for the children to have different activities. So outside of just monetary, providing things to different people in Tallahassee, or our one of our greatest things right now is little Grayson, who has childhood cancer. And so PrayForGrayson.com, we're loving giving back to him. Bourbon and Bow Ties is going to do a special bracelet for us. To raise awareness for the research that's needed for childhood cancer. So we're just touched in so many ways every day by the people who come in and share Cole Couture with us, that there's a lot more to it, and it makes every day much more meaningful to us to give back to the community that also gives to us.
Would you say that's one of your reasons for being successful as a business? And if so, can you add to that as far as why do you think your business has been such a success?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of things that go into being successful. I think that outside of making women, and, you know, we do have a small men's section, so outside of making them feel good in what they're wearing, because clothing is a part of, you know, our confidence, it's much more than that to us. So I think that, you know, being a part of everybody's lives who share with us in Tallahassee contributes greatly to our success. So whether it be empowering people who just come in for a treat or a drink or something from our sweet shop, or they're finding the outfit for something fabulous, you know, a great big event, or just every day to feel good, I think giving back is also a part of our success for sure. Decisions on your own, so you can, you know, be successful in providing for everyone that's a part of your success.
I don't know if you can tell, but Carrie cares. And I think that really shows, I think, in her business. And I, you know, that's such a, you know, when you say the word passion, one of our themes for the February March issue is finding your passion. And a part of that is just caring about people. And people pick up on that. I really appreciate you coming in today and sharing your passion.
I appreciate you. You've been a big part of what we've done at Cole Couture from the beginning.
Listen, I did not pay her to say any of that. Awesome.
So thank you. And thank you, Tallahassee Women.
Absolutely. And we're just celebrating Carrie and celebrating other business women at our awards, April 30th, Women Who Mean Business Awards. So be sure to visit our website at talwomanmag.com to nominate, someone more information about being a sponsor there, and just to buy some tickets and attend to help celebrate women like Carrie and other amazing women in business, because this is a celebration, all that's going on with local women. And we just appreciate you listening, and appreciate you, Carrie, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And I hope you all have a really great day and great weekend. This is Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman Magazine with Women to Watch. Take care.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have City Commissioner Nancy Miller has joined us this morning. Seat two, isn't that right?
Seat three.
There we go. Sorry. I have to speak slowly and use lots of gestures with me and pictures because I don't retain information very well. Seat three, City of Tallahassee Commissioner, how are you?
I'm very good.
You're
very
looking
good.
Well.
Thank you. I appreciate
considering
that.
All
so
of the,
are you, Brian.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Are you flirting with me? I don't know. This is not good. Though I have to say, I do have a great hairstylist now.
Excellent.
And I'm telling me that I have the right hair for radio, so I'm not sure what that is. And Heather, you know who I'm talking about. We have Heather Baker, who is with the green room, that tries to keep me looking like something other than a caveman,
I guess. A TV personality.
Personality. That's what I need. I need a personality. I've got the hair, apparently. I just need... So how do we get past some of these folks who show up at city commission meetings? God bless them. They're exercising their constitutional right, I suppose, in wanting to bring up a topic or an accusation or some inflammatory remark that, from your point of view, I think it would be fair to say, just doesn't serve the conversation very well. And yet, that's got to be a very, I would think, sort of a dilemma, in as much as you're trying to be accommodating to all of us, and that's the whole point of having these meetings.
Right, that's
right?
true. That's
and that are highly well publicized, and they're broadcast, and all this jazz. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you're like, really? You want to take our time, and not just your personal time, but us as a community, and this is how you want us to spend that precious time we have. And it's not one time. It's over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of times it's the same person or the same issues, and you're kind of like, really? Is there a solution to that?
I think we should open up the phones and let the folks call in with suggestions. Because really, I invite public discourse. I think I've heard some of the most fantabulous ideas from
That's
people
word,
who've come
it.
In and had their few minutes to speak and have opened up my eyes to opportunities that I hadn't known about.
Okay, so you're saying that for the most part,
it's positive.
It's a very positive environment.
We just don't have enough of those folks. And one thing that we've done recently in the city is make it free. We're going to start stamping folks' parking tickets so that it'll make it a little easier for them to come to the commission meetings, because it's distressing to me that we don't see more of the public in City Hall. I mean, it's the public's building.
I have that.
And this is a democracy, and it won't work unless people participate. So I really invite folks to come down and make comments. But please don't lie there, and don't bring up something that happened when Alan Katz was, you know, I love Alan Katz just fine. But fact is, we're here. We're now. 10, 15 years ago, something that somebody, some issue then is really doesn't inform on our conversations of today. There's a lot to talk about in Tallahassee, and spending time going over past history but the thing I think that concerns me the most is when people come up there and make statements to which there is no proof, or outright lie, which has happened also. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, I don't lie to the public, but I don't expect people who lecture us about ethics to come in and lie to the public either. So,
we've had conversations with Commissioner DeLoge about this work that Liz Joyner and folks like Brian, Alan Katz was one of those folks.
He founded it.
To form this whole effort. You've attended many of those. I've been there, and you look around the room, and there's maybe a couple of hundred folks, and they all look pretty much the same color and the same age. And you ask yourself, of the close to 200,000 people, let's talk about Leon County, or even within the city, where are they? Why is it that Village Square has not had to find other quarters because there's just not enough space? When those are the kind of conversations I have found to be extremely informative and well organized and fun. You learn so much in a good way. And yet I know at least one commissioner has never attended any one of those meetings. And that I don't get that either. But what do we do to get more people involved in the process?
Well, when I talk to people, I tell them that freedom isn't free, and that if you want to, most of the time when we say that, we mean our service people, our children that we're sending across the world to fight for our freedom. We need to really refocus on ourselves back here at home about whether we are upholding our end of the democracy. And I think a lot of people don't even vote. A lot of people don't enter in these conversations. A lot of people have opinions about things that they've never, ever been to a public forum to hear information about. And that's just all I ask, is that people actually participate in their democracy. I don't mind going anywhere to talk to a group of people, mainly because I think it's real important that people have access to us, to their elected leaders. If it's not the Village Square, then you go to church, or there are plenty of places to interact with the public. Mm. That's our responsibility.
Right.
But they have to come to those.
A very well-organized radio talk show.
Of course, that would be.
On Saturday mornings.
That's an excellent idea, Brian. Okay. Excellent.
Saying.
Yeah, there are a lot of opportunities, and we have one of the most involved, well-educated communities in the United States. I'm hugely proud of this community. Mm. We have a lot of activity on our citizens advisory groups of all kinds. Mm. Last year was over the top on citizen involvement, in the fact that we had the sales tax committee, we had the cultural plan review committee, we had the ethics committee. Just amazing contributions on the part of, and commitments of time and talent on the part of our citizens.
It has been remarkable.
So, I would say Village Square is one venue. And there are a lot of people that go to that, but there are other venues where a lot of people go to those too. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You just have to get out and get about town.
Well, and getting motivated. Talking with people who, the person who works all day long, gets off work, has to get the kids out to the soccer game, get home, take care of the family. Maybe she's got a part-time job. After that,
maybe he's a single mom or a single dad that has is the only parent carrying this load.
And we're bringing up topics about Cascades Park or whatever, and their attitude is, really?
Who's got time?
I don't have time for that. So I think some of it is a matter of feeling disenfranchised because they find themselves so pegged in. Their lives are so clearly defined, we'd say, by the routine that they are engaged in. And that's one of the reasons why we started doing this show, because we felt like, well, if nothing else, you might be able to tune in, or you can listen online. We keep all the shows archived, so you can hear anything that you want to from the 3 years we've been doing this. And our dear friend here, Commissioner Nancy Miller, has been a part of that, and we want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of those initiatives. You mentioned the penny, the half penny tax and sales tax monies. One of those citizens groups, of course, was Imagine Tallahassee, and we had Kim Rivers talking about how she appreciated very much the fact that the city was specific in that is the city commission in regard to those particular initiatives that came up through that process, whereas the county was, for her point, from her point of view, was a bit more blanket about that. I'd like to get your comments when we get back from this break. Folks, we're talking with City Commissioner Nancy Miller, District 3, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Don't forget, you can listen to the show online at TallahasseeTalks.com. If you have a topic or a guest you'd like to share with us, you can always email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Stay with me.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard you're out on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Now we're talking Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Commissioner Nancy Miller, City Commissioner Nancy Miller, who occupies seat three.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And I was, boys and girls, Mr. Brian was in error in saying that she occupied District 3 representative. So in fact, she's occupying seat 3. And tell us how that is so significant, because the county and city are different the way that they're governed or how this is organized.
Yes, Brian.
Help us out.
The county has two at-large commissioners and five commissioners who are in districts who represent a piece of the pie.
I see.
In the city, that's not the case. We have every resident of the city has five representatives on their city commission. All five of us represent all 180,000 of them.
I see.
Of you. And the mayor and the four commissioners, we all are belong to every resident of the city.
Accountable to every citizen.
That is correct.
Okay. And in that regard, then, there aren't those parts of, let's say, or locations within the city that are of greater concern to you than another.
That's absolutely
based
true.
On geography.
That's right.
But one of those areas of geography we're celebrating today is the opening of Cascades Park, which all of us who have been close to that or even have been watching from afar, it's pretty impressive. You agree?
Yes, sir. I do agree, and I agree because I've watched that since 1998, whenever we first began to develop the concept of blueprint. It wasn't couched in the term of blueprint back then. We just sat down and said, what do we need to do to move the city forward? What can we all agree on? And 13 of us sat down together from different constituencies and spent a year together, getting together every Tuesday afternoon and talking about what we should be thinking about as far as the city's future. And then that evolved into, somebody said, well, you need to write this down. So we wrote it down in the report, Blueprint 2000 and Beyond, and then it explained a lot of this and a lot of other things too. The projects such as Capitol Circle and Cascades Park were actually in the appendix of the report. There was a lot in there about how city and county could work better together and so on. So so to have come through that journey through the years and to see it actually open was, there are not words to describe the gratification
and this,
that I
this,
felt.
This feature too, of course, the amphitheater is a neat thing, and this Discover What is Discovery?
Oh, Discovery?
Discovery.
Well, let's see. About 2 years ago, a night community, KCCI Initiative, one of the groups, took on Cascades Park in the term of Cultivate Cascades. They did a survey to find out what people were looking for in the park.
Right.
And in their survey, the number one thing that came back was an amphitheater, okay, interestingly enough. Okay. And that's another report where there's a lot more to it than just the Discovery Garden, but ultimately their project turned out to be this Discovery Play Area. They noticed that there was no play area in the park.
Yeah.
And so they went out and they raised over $100,000. Wow. Thank you, First Commerce, for Credit Union, for contributing the bulk of that, and several others too, too numerous to mention on the radio. But fact is, we've got a children's play area. There will eventually, and probably within a year, be a bathroom nearby there, a place for kids to go. And it's just really a beautiful part of the park.
And in fact, folks, if you're not aware of this, the grand opening is today. You should make your way down there this afternoon if you can. They've got some folks that are going to give you kind of a guided tour, so you'll get familiarized with the park. And it's got some really positive aspects to it already, and the whole lot more to come. That came about because groups of people, and you mentioned a few of those folks, got together. Imagine Tallahassee is another example of that I referred to earlier. And I know that you've been close to the work that Kim Rivers and all of those folks have been doing. You've been aware of that. Why do you think the city, or tell me about how that influenced or was part of how the City Commission came to its decisions about allocation of sales tax monies?
Well, let's go back a couple of steps. One thing, back when the citizens voted on the existing blueprint 2000, one of the discoveries that we made right at the beginning was that people were looking at each other saying, well, where did our last sales tax dollars go? So this particular iteration of that sales tax penny extension had a whole lot of safeguards and reportability incorporated into it that had not been there previously. There is the blueprint agency was created where the money goes directly into that account. They have a list of projects that they are tasked with accomplishing with that money. So that is separate and apart from city and county government. Now, we could get into this is a whole long, hour-long talk of its own, but fact is that the 80% of the money does that, and then the city and the county get 10% to address their needs too. But bottom line is that there's much more accountability. Well, when we went into this sales tax exercise, the city and the county set up sales tax committee members, people in the community, I think there were like 20 of them, who represent all neighborhoods, all parts of town, different constituencies, and so on. And they have spent hundreds of hours vetting projects over the last year. Well, one new twist in this particular exercise is that the state has changed the definition of where this money can go. The state gives us the right, gives counties the right to put a sales tax extension like this on the ballot. And in the past, it's always been strictly limited to capital projects.
Infrastructure.
They've added two elements. One was that you could use part of the money to maintain what you had built with that money. The other thing is that they've allowed up to 15% to be used on economic development. So as the sales tax committee was meeting, the discussion of economic development came up, and so, you know, there was an ask from the EDC, we want 15%. And we're basically, the obvious answer is, well, what are you going to spend it on? Just like the folks that were scratching their heads and saying, well, it's not that anybody's absconding with the money, but the fact is people want to know. And the bottom line is that you're putting together a package and you're putting it on the ballot and saying, do you want to buy this? And in the past, they looked at it in a capital circle, yes, I want to buy an improved roadway, Cascades Park, yes. yes, we want to stop flooding. These are the places, Franklin Avenue, where, you know, people mm-hmm. drowned, mm-hmm. things like that. Yes, we want to stop that. And so the public, 2-1, said, yes, let's we want it. To buy the product. Well, we need to get to that point again.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we have to have answers and we have to have definition. Well, that big economic development piece was a huge gray area to folks. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, yeah. I was like, well, why do you need it? And I will... At the Chamber Retreat in 2012, there was a presenter from Texas who described a visioning process and mm-hmm. that would give definition, had the potential to give definition to that economic development piece. And Kim Rivers basically took the initiative to spend a couple months of doing research with that company and others. And then, and I know you can you've had her on the show probably. Mm-hmm. If you haven't,
several
you should.
Yeah.
And she can go into that in much more detail. But this, imagine Tallahassee was a private effort to put some definition yeah. and some yeah. substance yeah. to an area that had no substance to it up till that point.
So I'll tell you this, folks, we are plumb out of time, and that breaks my heart because this is a young lady who, for her part, is in high demand. Commissioner Miller gives 110% from this humble man's point of view. To the job that she's been assigned, and on behalf of all of the citizens of Tallahassee. So to have her with us for this brief moment is a pleasure and an honor, and we don't get enough of you, and we just
need
sure to come back.
Well, you sure are wonderful to me. I'll be glad to come back.
Well,
anytime.
I mean, anybody who wants to sit in any one of those seats for city or county, I'm sure that you'd be more than welcome to try it for a day, see how that rolls. But Nancy, thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Stay with me. Coming up at the stay with me after the top of the hour. ABC News is coming up, and we'll have the folks from Big Bend Homeless Coalition. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The possibility of a concussion is a reality for anyone who is active in sports or physical activity. Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic has opened its regional concussion center, providing baseline and post-concussion testing to aid in evaluation and treatment. The TOC Foundation is proud to offer baseline concussion testing as a community service for only $20. Call today for an appointment, 877-817-7274.
Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of some light showers during the day. Showers will become more numerous during the overnight hours. High temperatures will rebound to normal levels in the low to mid 70s and overnight lows in the low to mid 50s. Winds will be out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour and seas will be 2 to 3 feet with protected waters a light to moderate chop. Coastal water temperatures will remain chilly in the mid-60s. Sunday will feature more widespread rainfall across the Big Bend, with a 50% chance of showers and a few thunderstorms. Highs will be in the low 70s inland and high 60s along the coast, with overnight lows near 50. Southwest winds at 10 miles per hour will make for 2 to 3 foot seas, with protected waters a light chop. The below flood stage water levels in Big Bend rivers and streams will remain high this weekend. Caution should be used near waterways, especially with more rain expected on Sunday. With your Tallahassee Talks Weekend Weather Update, I'm forecaster Lauren Visson.
So we are talking this morning with a couple of very fine people who, for their part, are involved with Big Bend Homeless Coalition. We have with us Deborah Lloyd, who is the program director, and Patrick Burkle, who apparently is has just wandered in off the street and trying to figure out what... No, I'm teasing. So, Patrick, tell us what you do for Big Bend Homeless Coalition.
Well, as part of the Advocates for Veteran Housing program, I am part of the outreach team.
Ah, so you're reaching out.
So I'm reaching out.
That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here, sir.
Okay,
so
Patrick is reaching out, and Deborah, you're directing the program. What does that entail?
Basically making sure that the program meets the compliance for VA, making sure that we're reaching all the people we need to reach, making sure that, you know, everybody hears about us who needs to hear about us, and that we're providing really, really good service to our veterans.
And I'm noticing this, by the way, folks, the program we're talking about particularly this morning is this thing entitled Advocates for Veteran Housing. So, Deborah, your reference to the VA, there are some compliance issues. What are those?
Well, part of that is what our conditions for eligibility are, making sure we're clear about that eligibility so that they so anyone who comes to us, they have to be a veteran, they have to be under the area median income, at least 50% under the area median income, and they also have to be eligible for medical benefits under the VA.
And in that regard, then, VA provides funding for the program?
They have funded the program at about $1 million, and so part of that $1 million is to provide resources so that we can house or help get people into housing who might be homeless or who might be having some problems around their electricity, their rental, you know, their rent, those kinds of things, and we help support them to stay where they are.
Well, so now I've seen this photo of Homefront, is that specifically for veterans or is that broader than that?
Homefront is specifically for veterans. Part of that is it is driven by vouchers that they get from the VA. So VA has a certain number of vouchers that they have, and so it allows veterans to live in specific areas like Homefront, and it's related to their income.
Okay.
So yeah, so if somebody doesn't have a large income, because some of these veterans really don't have much, it might be $400, maybe $500 a month that they have.
Okay.
So that voucher is based on that, so that they're not paying nearly as much as they would be having to pay to live.
I see. So, Patrick, how long have you been with Big Bend?
I've been with them since this program was launched in October. I have worked previously with Big Bend Homeless Coalition as part of their team at Hope Community, which is transitional housing on Pensacola Street.
And what did you do for them then? What was there, you're still involved in the outreach side of things, or
then I was a resident assistant, which they now have a different title. I think resident care specialist. Basically, I was in the men's dorm.
I see.
While I was in school, interacting directly with clients there.
How did you first get involved? What got you plugged into the Homeless Coalition initially?
Well, as you probably know, Big Bend Homeless Coalition has been around since, I think, 1986.
Yeah.
Very active as a lead agency.
Don't assume that I know anything.
Okay.
I know very little. In fact, I only know a few words, so you have to speak slowly and use lots of pictures with me. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
That's the way it rolls.
Let me show you this picture of Big Bend Homeless Coalition.
Okay. Well done.
So at the time I was pursuing the master's in social work, and Big Bend Homeless Coalition and the College of Social Work were they cooperated quite a bit.
Okay, so your background was academically in social work.
And correct.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. So, but why this particular organization? Is there something about working to help this population of homeless folks that is for you more compelling, you think?
Specifically. For Advocates for Veteran Housing, when I was working with another organization in town, when I saw this opportunity, I jumped at it because
why?
I think everyone on our team, there are nine of us, have very, very strong reasons to want to assist not only folks who are struggling with, you know, finding stable housing, but in particular veterans. For me, my father served; he's passed now, but served in World War II. He was a decorated veteran. Actually, yesterday was March 12th, 1945, was the date he was injured in Germany, for which he received the Purple Heart. So I feel very strongly about, for that reason, and also for all the folks who
Deborah, do you find that the case, that a lot of the folks involved with your organization have that kind of personal connection?
Yeah, I do. I think one of the things that it has really I've seen the most is when we talk to anyone about helping us, whether it is a landlord, whether it is someone for a job, whether it's anything, one of the things they're going to tell you first is that they're a veteran. And one of the things that I do believe is true, I was reading this, and they said, everyone knows someone who's a veteran, and I absolutely believe that everyone can name at least one person that they know, may not be in their family, but everybody can name one person who's a veteran. Yeah, so I think that there is a strong, which is why so many people, when we mention what we do, they really want to reach out and help for that reason, because they know, you know, both the honor that veterans bring to us as a country and their families. And I think just wanting to reach out to veterans that they know in some ways are struggling in some areas too.
How does it break your heart? It does mine, that you have people who have served this country and find themselves homeless.
Yes.
And I mean, it's not one or two people. This is epidemic.
It is epidemic. And that's one of the reasons why the VA basically started this, is because they wanted to basically see if they could eliminate homelessness among our veterans. I think the other part of it is being able to say that out loud.
Yeah.
That I think that maybe people kind of saw but didn't really know, but to say it out loud, that we have an epidemic of homelessness among our veterans in this country, and that there's just more that we can do. Not just, I think generally about the homeless population in general, but then when you get specific to veterans, and it does, it, when you hear their stories, when we get a chance to put them or help them get into a home, and some of them may have been homeless for years. I don't mean 2 or 3 years. I mean 5, 6, 7 years they have been homeless.
And are there those circumstances that seem to be recurring? I mean, when we look for some of the causes, I guess, what do you see?
Well, I think part of what we see is that when we look at the individuals who we're serving, when they served, I think has a lot to do with that too. Uh-huh. So the post-Vietnam era, that population of men who have served, whether it's men and women who have served in a war zone. So it's just it's a struggle for them.
Talking with Deborah Lloyd and Patrick Burkle here, the Big Bend Homeless Coalition, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Deborah and Patrick, these folks who have kindly given of their time this morning just to give us a better understanding of how it is that Big Bend Homeless Coalition is working hard to try to not only care for homelessness, those who are homeless and find them housing, but then have gotten very specific with certain populations, particularly here, homeless veterans. And Patrick, you referred to your own personal motivation for that. I'm sure there are a lot of folks listening this morning who can identify with it. They have a family member, a friend who has served, and maybe that person themselves is homeless. How do they get plugged in? What should they do to reach out to that individual? Or, Patrick, do you have some advice for us as to how they can contact you?
Yes. They can simply call us. Our number is 597-5395. Or they can go to the Big Bend Homeless Coalition website.
Which I have. If you haven't been following along, folks, you can pull up their website, Big Bend HC.org is the URL, the address, and then you have this programs tab, and that'll take you to this thing called Advocates for Veteran Housing. So you can learn all about even more what they're doing. How can we get involved in helping you, I guess, would be the other question.
That's I appreciate the question. Basically, as Deborah mentioned earlier, so many of us have contacts with veterans. I would say specifically understand that you know, try to visualize in your mind when you think veteran and be conscious of what comes up. We're not just talking about a specific individual. Our program serves individuals, yes, but veteran families. So, mm-hmm. so if an individual, say a child goes to school and it's obvious that they're stressed at home, that may be because their parent, a veteran who can't make the rent, is struggling with stable housing. So what I would ask the listeners to do is just, you know, think about those instances, even if it's someone who's not literally homeless, and contact us. Also, if you have any suggestions of other organizations in the community, and you know, it's a vast, broad category that, yeah. that may interact with folks who are struggling with housing. I mean, you know, that's a long list. So right. if you have suggestions for that, to contact us so that we can get the word out. We'd be happy to present and so forth.
It's go ahead, Deborah.
So another way that people can get involved is, you know, when we are getting someone into housing for the first time, there is a range of things that they need. So just contacting us about some of the things that might be needed. There may be dishes, pots and pans, anything
common
that starts
day,
to, just common day things that, yeah. you know, those folks don't have, and being able to set them up in housing is just really, really important, because they come in oftentimes with one bag and that's it that they have.
And
furniture, any of those things
can
be helpful.
And you pointed to the fact, too, that a lot of the time these are folks who are struggling with some, mm-hmm. we'll call it disability or some impairment, mm-hmm. That has kept them in this situation, made it difficult for them to get plugged in, stay employed, whatever.
Yes.
What do you folks do to help them with those kinds of issues?
Well, one of the things, because what we don't do, we don't necessarily deal with the specifically issues relating to substance abuse. If they have legal issues, we don't. But we have partners that we refer them to.
Okay.
Because we have what is called a housing first model, which means, you know, you don't. We're not asking you to address your substance abuse or address any of your, if you've got
personal issues
before we get you into housing. We know. When we think about Maslow's hierarchy, one of the things it tells us is that, you know, some of the things that's going to make us more functional is we have to know that we are safe, that we are warm, we can have a meal every day.
Nice.
So that is housing, being safe in that housing, and being able to eat. That's just common every day. That's what we all need for our brains to function and move forward, to take care of
anything
else. Get that done first. That's why we do the housing first model. Get that done first.
And then move on to helping an individual
get
better integrated into
gainful
employment.
That's right.
That sort of thing. Is the problem declining? Are we seeing an increase in homelessness? What's your take on that?
Well, some of the numbers that I've seen from the VA and HUD indicate, for example, in 2012, roughly 60,000 veterans were identified in the United States as homeless. And that's, I emphasize the word identified, because these counts, like the one that Big Bend Homeless Coalition spearheads, the point in time, it's a snapshot. It's considered by most people an underestimate. But the numbers do indicate that over the past several years, particularly adding this program to several other VA programs addressing housing, that the rates of homelessness among veterans have declined somewhat. Obviously, there's still a lot of folks out there struggling. So
I suspect, too, that the folks we may see on a street corner are hardly representative of the majority of folks out there. I mean, to me, it's almost an invisible problem, you know, because they're not out there in droves. I mean, you see one or two people on a street corner and you think, oh, that poor soul. But we don't realize what that really represents, do we?
No, we don't. And I think what you said is probably is exactly the truth. It's not, I think when you hear the word homeless, you know, there's a picture that comes to everyone's mind. Certainly it is some of those people that you see on the street corner, but sometimes it is just really somebody who doesn't have a stable home themselves, and they're moving from place to place. I can stay here for a little while. I can stay here for a little while. I can stay with this relative. I can stay with this friend. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. That person is always also in the same situation. Mm-hmm. I think the other part of it is that those individuals, when you listen to this, think about also someone that you know who may be a veteran, who may be struggling. Maybe they've just lost a job, and there is so much, through no fault of their own, nothing happened, that they just lost that job. They're now struggling. It is really, really hard, and I've come to understand that, for for veterans to reach out for that help. Mm. Very, very hard.
Good friend of our show here, Mark Wallheiser, and the friend of many, Pulitzer Prize winner, photographer, local photographer. People were moved by the fact that his photos of homeless individuals made that point very clearly. The face of homelessness mm-hmm. was pretty much his objective there, to realize it's not the stereotypic view you might have. You better look more closely. Folks, we're talking about Big Bend Homeless Coalition here this morning. Our good friends Patrick Burkle and Program Director Deborah Lloyd giving us a little bit of insight into how this program is working to help homeless veterans and what we could do to be a part of that. Remember, their web address again is bigbendhc.org, mm-hmm. and I know that they would appreciate your help and support. Folks, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Brian.
A pleasure. Folks, we'll be back. Stay with me right after the break. We've got Brian Deloge coming up for you.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are in the presence of greatness here, folks. We have a great man and a great opportunity to talk about Leon County and its government and management and all that goes into that. Commissioner Brian Deloge, our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Have you been on any
mountaintops
lately? I know you've been skiing like there was
no tomorrow. Yeah, I skied in Montana a while back. I was in Utah before that. I've been traveling a lot, though.
You know, I'm building a website. It's called Where in the World is Brian Deloge? And so it's going to be like this game you play. And then you place the marker on the map to see if you're close.
Well, I might see. My feeling is you work hard, you play hard.
So. Well, I got no criticism here. I think that you seem to run a fairly tight schedule, and certainly you've squeezed out some time for us this morning. And folks, you probably know that Deloge and I have this sort of man crush thing going on. You know, he thinks I'm the greatest radio guy in the world, and you know, I think he's a pretty decent county commissioner. So, you know, my friend, the pirate over there, I don't know, man. What you got to just lighten up a bit, maybe. I don't know, but see, I don't have that problem. People love me. Or hate me, but I mean, either way, it seems to make it possible for me to have these kind of conversations when really the business at hand is what are we doing, where are we going, how are we getting it done, and gosh, we've got so much to talk about, don't even know exactly where to start. We could probably start with some of the fun stuff. Cascades Park.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Opening today.
Yeah.
Right?
This weekend, Cascades will open up. Long time project, signature project of Blueprint. If you haven't been down there, you really need to do yourself
and
a favor.
Betsy Couch is really to just jump through hoops down there. Betsy's been so excited about the Discover portion of that thing for the kids.
We opened that up actually last week, the playground, and it's really kind of, it's not your traditional playground. And Cascades Park with the amphitheater, and this is just a piece of a much larger thing. I tell people, if you visualize, start across the street from Leon High School, walk down Franklin Boulevard as it stands today. It's spectacular. It's park-like the whole way. You get to Cascades Park with the fountains, with the amphitheater. It's a real, it's going to be spectacular. It is spectacular. And then later this year, we're going to have a pedestrian bridge that's going to go over South Monroe. and land on the west side there, kind of behind Subway and Shell Oyster Bar. Mm. And then we're going to continue that kind of park-like setting like you see down Franklin and in Cascades all the way under the overpasses. And then the northernmost part of FAMU, if you know where I'm talking about, the big drainage ditch, there's a power grid and apartment complexes up on pilings. And we're going to continue that kind of that look and feel of sidewalks and landscaping and benches and sculptures and stuff. And then where FAMU Way hits Railroad Square right there, we're going to punch FAMU Way continuing all the way up to Lake Bradford Road.
Wow.
So eventually you'll be able to go from Leon High School across the street all the way to Lake Bradford Road, really without ever having to cross major intersections, and you'll be able to walk it, bike it, stroll it. It's a long park, and you add in Gain Street, that I think is kind of starting to catch a lot of momentum. Yeah. College Town, which now is going to turn into Madison Mile between the intramural fields and the Civic Center, and you've really transformed the southern side of the downtown.
Amazingly, and the fact is, too, that it seems to me we're getting at this business of bringing people into a better sense of community, so we're not segmented and pushed aside and divided. I mean, particularly between, let's call it downtown, South Side,
sure,
or FAMU, FSU.
Well, and Gain Street's a big, you know, there's always been this town and gown thing, and I think the Civic Center now being part of FSU really eliminates that kind of in-between, and the South Side, North Side, downtown, you know, so Gain Street was always looked at as FAMU, FSU, and downtown. It's the in-between piece. So Gain Street really changes that. I'll tell you kind of an interesting phenomenon. In my generation, in our generation, most of us would go to live in a city based on a job we had.
Right.
Now, this generation, my daughters, my children's generation, they generally will find a town they like and then back into a job. And so we're starting to build a town here that has become a lot more welcoming to the young professionals.
I
think what you find there is people now want to find a job in our town.
Huh. And we've had some great examples of that. Even some of the guests we've had on our show lately are practicing professionals in medicine, in law, in education. They moved to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
They made a decision. Even Darko Bukaritz, our new symphony conductor, turns out he's a huge Seminole fan.
Well, there's a buzz, I think. You know,
and he decides to move to Tallahassee.
I met with Julie Moreno when she first came here to run the Democrat, and I talked to her a little bit about what may help her make the decision. She said, there's a little bit of a buzz about Tallahassee in the country. And I kayak with a friend of mine who said, I looked at Asheville and I looked at Sedona. Huh. And he said, if you're an outdoorsman and you like to kayak, this is world class. You don't get it much better.
Interesting. So. Well, there you go, folks. We're talking with Commissioner Brian DeLoach, and who, from my standpoint, you do such a good job in helping us simple people understand what can be a very complex situation. And again, not to patronize you, but I thought your comments the other day were helpful in understanding how the penny tax, half penny tax, I guess, works to benefit the county and city. There's been some wrangling among some of the troops as to how those funds are going to be allocated. And between county and city, you guys had a little different point of view on that that didn't make Kim Rivers real happy. And so, in fact, I'm going to play you an outtake from a moment I had with her at the last Village Square Forum and get your feedback. But you know, that, and incidentally, folks, I mentioned Village Square. If you've not participated in Village Square, what's the matter with you? I mean, come on. This is exactly the kind of thing that you and I need to be a part of. The newspaper's trying to make that happen for you. We're down there with our little crew trying to get recordings for you. I mean, Liz Joyner, I don't know. The woman has given up everything else in her life.
Let me brag for a minute on Village Square, too. You know, we're doing it. We've got it in Pinellas now.
Yeah.
We're talking to Broward. We're talking to Martin County.
Yeah.
We've got it in Kansas now. Ambassador Katz has landed as a tenured professor in Kansas. And then I'll be in California in next month, and we're talking, and we got the founder of LinkedIn and one of the early guys in eBay, Reed Hoffman, has written us a check and said, we want you in California. So we're going to Sacramento and trying to set up the same thing.
And this is an idea for those of us who may now just be coming acquainted with it, was an idea, just a simple idea that a few people like Liz and Commissioner Deloge said, you know, why can't we do
this?
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting when you look at it.
It started right here.
Yeah, Alan Katz and myself and Bill Law. But I look at Alan. Alan is a liberal Jewish Democrat. I am Catholic conservative Republican. So you look at, you got two ends of the spectrum, but I would count him as one of my best friends. I went to Israel to see his son get married. He really, he's one of the smartest guys I know, one of the most principled guys. And I think you take out, you know, the fact that we come to the world with a different set of experiences, we see the world through a different set of lens, doesn't make one good or bad. It just means that's the way we see the world. And so when we differ on issues, it just means that we have a different set of experiences that we bring to the table. And I think that's lost at the federal level. And we don't have that latitude at the local level. We've got to make things work.
Yeah,
I don't.
We can't afford that.
If I called and said, guess what? You know, we're fighting at the city or the county today. We're not going to pick up your trash next week, or the power's not going to work. I mean, how long would that last? And so I don't have a printing press to balance my budget. I've got to figure out a way to make it work. And so, you know, you have to figure out how to get along. And most of us, if you look at the facts, are not that far apart.
Right.
We get the discussions driven by the extreme right and the extreme left when the majority of us, are frankly a step off of center right or left. And that's personal choices, and you just have to honor what people's backgrounds are.
Talking with Commissioner Brian Deloge, Leon County, District 4. We're going to talk a little bit further after the break. I'd like to find out what's going on up there in District 4, the whole Market Square area. I know that's near and dear to your heart. Folks, this is why we do what we do. We're learning a lot about Blueprint and its efforts to bring forward these initiatives that were proposed years ago, and we're seeing some of that happen. Even today, the opening of Cascades Park this afternoon. And by the way, you can go down there and they've got some folks that'll give you a guided tour of the whole thing. And it's what we love about Tallahassee. It's a great time, great place to be. Right here. So you stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday. Glad you've joined us. And by the way, this portion of our show is brought to you by Tommy T's up there in Midtown. Great little business. Great place to get an oil change or anything you need done for your car. If you're just hearing a weird noise and you're on your way to work and you're heading into town, I mean, they're right there in Midtown on Thomasville Road. You can pull in. They'll listen. They'll say, yeah, you got a problem. But more than that, they'll be able to tell you what the problem is and if you need to deal with it at the moment or if you need to come back. And Steve and John just do such a great job for everybody. And, it makes me feel good that I can give them a little shout out this morning. So be sure to stop in. And by the way, if you do and you have any work done there, I'm going to buy you lunch. How about that? See, who loves you? I am going to buy you lunch at Up and Smoke, or you can go to Canopy Road Cafe, and it's on me just because you said, hey, I heard you're being mentioned there on the Tallahassee Talks. That's how it works around here. What do you think, Brian? Is that a good idea?
Sounds like a deal to me. Sign me up.
Yeah. I know where you're going to get your oil change this afternoon. So we're talking about county, and we're talking about Blueprint 2000. We're talking about money. And, of course, you know, various concerns about how monies are being allocated, and particularly in regard to Imagine Tallahassee and our dear friend Kim Rivers, who here a while back when
the county said, you know what, we're not going to be as specific in relation to those ideas that came up through the Imagine process. Kind of, I guess, would you prefer to call it a blanket sort of, or a funding of, but not things, not monies tied to specific projects. Is that
yeah, and describe it? I think you have to kind of back up a little bit and kind of take this in sequence. I mean, we're kind of cutting edge as far as counties around the state. The fact that statutorily we're allowed to use any of this for economic development is kind of new ground. There's only one other county that I'm aware of in the state that's gone down this path so far. So the state,
as opposed to using those dollars
purely infrastructure
for infrastructure,
right?
Roads
and so
and
the
such,
state statute has changed, and we're allowed to use up to 15% for economic development. And so Kim, and my hat's off to Kim and her group, because somebody had to define, or better define, what does economic development mean to us?
Yeah.
And Imagine was basically the group that went out, spent their own money, their own time, and came back with a list of kind of parameters and projects that would encompass what they think economic development is. And originally, when the city and the county first looked at this, we said, just really without a lot of thought or science to it, said 15 seems high, 5 seems low, how about 10, just as a starting point. Kim came back and said, we think 12 to do everything we want to do as far as a percent of it. And you know, so then the city said, fine, we will, meaning the county, will be the last stop on the train. We're the ones who put it on the referendum. So we are the last group to see this, to push it around and decide what it will look like before it goes to referendum, because we have the ownership of it at the end of the day. So we're in partnership with the city on this. And so at first blush, we looked at it and said, 10%, 12%, we appreciate wildly all the work Kim has done, but we really didn't want to get wrapped around the axle as far as getting so specific in some areas. And really what happened, if you think back historically to the last round of Blueprint, we had a huge recession. And so a lot of the modeling got thrown out the window, and some of the projects from last time got pushed to this time. So
you're just saying, you're saying that it's too far out there for you to make those kind of calls.
Well,
now,
it's a 20-year parameter, and the reality is, we make estimates on what we think the tax collections will be. We make estimates on what we think money will be available, and we're trying to be fair to the community and say, here are the things that we plan to do with it. Now, my pitch has been to everybody who's got questions about whether or not this is a going forward is a viable and a good use of the money, is judge us on how we've spent the money so far in the current blueprint. And I think most people could point to it and say, we've been successful. We've done what we said we would do. So now going forward, we'd like to think we take that same model. There are some changes, and clearly the economic development piece of it is a big change.
How was the city able to go in the direction of being that specific with regard to those initiatives?
Well, the county, referendum, the ballot language has 75 words on it. So I felt pretty strongly, let's not get wrapped around the axle and try and wordsmith this into the ground. I mean, we can take everything that Kim has done. We can take everything that the sales tax committee has done, and there will be some shifting. Let me just, while I got a second, Steve Evans with the sales tax committee has done yeoman's work in the last 2 years, corralling that group and shepherding them forward and bringing a list of projects.
We had a chance to talk to Kim. It was at the Village Square Forum, and it'd be interesting to just to listen to her remarks about that.
The concern is really with in relation to what the county signaled, where kind of they were on Tuesday, was that presumption would be removed. And so it's really just, I think, a conversation now at and making sure that work hopefully is honored, and that they'll, you know, consider maybe taking another look at that particular piece of the proposal.
And then we had a chance to talk to Marianne Lindley, who had this to say about Kim's concerns.
Well, we'll have the final decision on this, and we agreed to 10% for economic development, but really the whole package is economic development. So I think that she should be really quite pleased that we have set aside $76 million for economic development, which the figure before 10% was 0%. So for her to quibble over 2%, I think, is really just bizarre.
So what's your take on that? I mean, here these two are definitely seeing things a bit differently.
Well, Kim,
and what a great place to do that too, right?
Oh yeah,
the Village Square
is the perfect forum.
That's where we should be doing this.
Kim should be commended for her and her group for the amount of work they've done. Hmm. And Marianne makes a valid point, though. The reality was, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, this community, in the amount of money that they spent, public money on economic development, was literally nothing. And yet we have managed to do okay. So we're kind of cutting new ground here. We're stepping into new areas. So, and the first round was, how about a fixed number instead of a percentage? And the Imagine group said, no, we want a percentage of the sales tax. They have to understand, if history repeats itself and we have another recession, instead of $75 million, it could be $45 million over the life of those
tax. Yeah, if those dollars are tied to specific projects, some of those projects are just going to not
going to happen.
Funded.
Yeah, so, I mean...
And that happened historically.
Yeah, right. And my concern is that we get too wrapped up in making this so specific.
Yeah.
Right. I think what Kim has done is spectacular, and I can't thank her enough. And I think what Steve Evans and his group have done is spectacular. But the ballot language has 75 words. We're not going to have every individual project. And what you will find is 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, things change.
On that note, folks, we're running out of time here. That you'd just love to spend the rest of your day hanging out, wouldn't you, Commissioner Deloge, or as some of his friends will call him, Deslogy. But we think that this is a good opportunity for you guys to get involved, to be a part of this show, be a part of the conversation. Village Square is a great opportunity. You think we're ever going to get a performing arts center?
The amphitheater is a step in the right direction. There's a discussion again about taking a building downtown and doing a smaller performing venue, 200 or 300 seats. Eventually, I think we will have more performance venues. I'm not sure if we have a performing arts center in the $120 million scale, and I'm not sure that we're ready for it as a community to support it financially. Mm-hmm. So,
folks, there you go. We have a lot to think about. Certainly, we appreciate what Commissioner Deloge is doing to help us get it all figured out. Thank you for being a part of it.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy the time.
Thank you, sir.
Saturday.
You too. Folks, that's what we've got for you this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning, 93.3, our home station. We're glad you've been a part of it. Come back. Be with me again next Saturday morning. I'll be right here. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to.
The possibility of a concussion is a reality for anyone who is active in sports or physical activity. Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic has opened its regional concussion center, providing baseline and post-concussion testing to aid in evaluation and treatment. The TOC Foundation is proud to offer baseline concussion testing as a community service for only $20. Call today for an appointment, 877-8174.